fat because a bunch of fat asses are in them.
Everybody that works here is fat.
Yeah. So
like there's
no skinny people.
There's no skinny people here. So welcome to the podcast.
Yay.
We haven't done this in forever.
Yay. I think part of it has been we've both been fucking busy with the shop.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty fucking crazy. Ups and downs. A lot of ups though.
No, it's all ups. Yeah, I think that's the problem. All is success, because that means you have to grow and you have to do more shit. And there's so many things to do, and we need to like fucking sit down and talk shit. Though we do talk shit all the time.
Yeah, but usually we're both working on something at the same
time.
Exactly. Yeah, on both our ends, work's been picking up. Fucking, you've been painting a lot more.
Yeah, doing the art thing a little harder.
I've been painting a lot more. I've been tattooing a lot more. We got a new addition to the shop, which is Nelson Sosa.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's a fucking beast with tradition.
Son of Nell.
Or Neltron 3030. But yeah, he's fucking awesome. Neltron. He's not here today, though.
El Indio Cybernético.
Yeah, bro. He's our Flecha, bro.
Yeah, he's our Tira Flecha,
bro. We love you, bro. Just don't get mad.
Yeah, I know.
Kenny's been doing pretty good. It. Kenny's had up and down here, too, but Kenny's been doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Kenny Cortina, which is really Calderon.
You still got that shit? I had to show you on the phone. I actually know Kenny Cortina, and that's why it threw me off. Yes, yeah. I know a guy named Kenny Curtains, all right? Which
Kenny
sounds
Curtains.
Great. Sounds good.
Meat Curtain. Anyway, so...
Kenny Meat Curtains.
Kenny Calderon's been doing really fucking phenomenal this year, too, with his artwork. We've had a lot of commissions. Sketch covers like crazy on all our ends.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit, that reminds me, I gotta take something off the wall. I sold it. I was like, fuck, I gotta put that in the fucking mail. Shit.
I don't know if you did a podcast at New York Comic Con, but we were all there.
Mm-hmm. No, we did. Didn't we cover that?
We covered it, but I don't know
if we
were but yeah, New York was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I wanna go back.
Yeah.
Which
it's
is
just
gonna
so
be
expensive.
Awesome.
It's so expensive.
Yeah, it's super expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because we're fat and we eat really well over there.
Well, we try to eat it really well. Well, it's up to John. John, we'd be eating dirty water dogs the whole time.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And there is we kept on visiting that fucking pizza joint.
Yeah, the dollar fucking slices or something.
What was it? Something Brothers?
I don't know.
Big Brothers Pizza or something like that.
And the other place that's right in front, what's it called?
It was an awesome Asian restaurant, which had no Asians working there.
Yeah.
disclaimer.
Walk
we're not
the
racist.
Walk.
Walk the walk.
Walk the walk. We kept going there and the other place.
That was
and,
awesome.
Every time I go back, I start learning the streets a little bit better in New York. You know, I'm like, all right, now I know where this is. And I'm like, still like, dude, how the fuck do people do it? That's why I tell you, like, the fucking.
It's
like,
a grid, bro.
It's a grid. But not only that, it's like. How the fuck do people walk so fucking much? Because you have to walk so much.
Well, you know, we came back a couple pounds lighter.
Yeah, like, we were like, we ate like crazy, but we actually did really well. And that's what everybody, happens to everybody. You know, I have friends that come from New York and they like come to live here and they get all fat and shit because you're in a car all the time.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, I gained so much weight since I moved here. And it's like, yeah,
no,
dude.
No cardio, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like,
and then you have like those severe fucking hot fucking New York chicks with the big strong fucking legs because they walk like 8 blocks for a yogurt and shit. In high heels. So it's like, you know, when you see that shit, you're like, oh, fuck, you know, that fucking severe New York beauty. You know, I love that shit. So it's like.
I remember. That conversation came up a couple times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man. I mean, that was a great trip. That one asshole that cut through the line and you called him an asshat. And I was like, oh, we're going to fight. This wasn't the convention.
Oh, no,
it's
just New York has a total effect on me. I get there and I'm all like, yeah, the big city, this is that. And like 3 days later, I'm like, fuck you fucking asshole. Get the fuck out of my way. Bumping into people. I turn into a New Yorker very fast.
You turn into Louis C.K.
I just
like,
fucking hated.
That's what happened, bro.
I hated fucking. I just can't stand it because here in Miami, you can't bump into somebody. Think about it. Right now in Hialeah, if somebody's walking in the shopping center and you bump into them, it's. You
oh,
gotta
sorry.
Say, sorry.
Yeah. Perdona.
Yeah, perdona. Yeah. Coño, fuck. Oh, shit. You can't. New York, it's like, boom, boom. Yeah, people hit you. People hit your book bag. People would fucking do this. Don't say a fucking word to you. Don't even look at you.
No,
and then when you say something, they're like, what the fuck's your problem?
When we were at Water Dogs, like when we were in our many trips to Water Dogs on the corner at the Javits Center, there was one person there and they were like, why are you apologizing? We're in New York. And it's like, whoa, dude, really? Like,
and I can't stand that shit.
Damn.
But it happened to me years ago, too. I was visiting my friend Karen, and she told me, like, oh, go to Union Square and fucking hang out there, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right. And I tried to take the subway. I tried. But walking down the stairs, people start fucking, like, pushing me down. Because it's like,
that happened to me too last time.
I'm like, oh, fuck this. I got, like, turn around, went up the fucking stairs, went outside, taxi. I'm like, fuck this shit. I got money. I have money. I'm going to take a taxi to this fucking place. I, like,
and now there's Uber. Yeah. Uber's everywhere in New York.
Yeah, Uber and Lyft.
There's scams everywhere, too, in the Uber New York thing, though. Like, they have an Uber fucking thing. If they take cash, bro, they're not Uber.
No, yeah.
They're not.
But then that
happened to you that guy, the first day, right?
No. No, I would... No, what it was is, like, somebody took it, and it was, like, I forgot what the fuck, was it? I don't know if it was John, because I remember I didn't have a bad experience. Somebody had a bad experience with Uber. Was it Jose?
It was the first night. I wasn't there.
I think it was Jose.
I flew in the second day.
I think it was Jose, because Jose came separate from us. And yeah, Jose and Vic, I think, I'm trying to remember, there's so many cons, they melt together. But I think Jose went and fucking grabbed a fucking Uber or thing, and then the guy, like, oh, no, just give me, like, $40 or something like that. But I think I worked it out with him. I go, wait, if you only paid $40 to go from, like, LaGuardia to here, that's excellent.
That was me. I paid $45. LaGuardia to the Javits Center.
Yeah, then that's fine. That's a great
rate. My taxi driver was... Dude, that was an awesome taxi drive, but like, yeah, it was racist as fuck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like, what I love is they're racist as fuck doing 50 down a fucking city block that's full of people. And you're just like, you know, like, holy shit. Well, we learned a lot of new racism, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you kind of hone your racism. The Bangladeshi guy that went off on Pakistanis.
Dude, that was
insane. Had to come back and check with Fawad. Like, hey, dude, why the fuck are these people hate you so much? And
they hate us. We kind of almost genocide. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit.
They wanted to, like, what was it? They wanted to elect some fishmonger for a fucking
president. Yeah, dude, that was bad.
We're like, no. And I'm just like, damn.
Fawad's like the nicest guy in the world. He's like, yeah, bro, this fishing. I was like, whoa, you guys.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Like, I think that's a very American thing. Where we look at our history and we'll be like recompense about it, and we're like, oh, I can't believe we fucking did it. But anybody else, it's like, you know, fucking queen and country, motherfucker. Like, you know, like, we're like, well, that's what we did. That's why we're a superpower. Fuck you. And yeah. You're like, oh, fuck, yeah, you're not even apologetic about your fucking shit. It's like, well, it should have to happen. Except for Germans. They just apologize all the time about everything.
Well, my people. Yeah, my people, you have to understand.
You're as German as a croqueta.
Yeah, I guess. Right?
You're from the Gables, nigga.
Yeah, used to be from the Gables. Now
you're from Hialeah. You downgraded.
10 years.
You downgraded.
Bro. I'm about to make 10 years on Hialeah.
Jesus.
Fucking love it, though.
Yeah.
These are my people. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the New Year's program. Hopefully I'll have it out tonight. I don't know who the fuck's going to listen to it. Probably tomorrow they'll listen to it after they get up and... hungover and shit.
Well, they have to listen to something as they go ahead and try to get over their hangover.
Yeah, exactly.
Although our voices might be screeching tires in their ears.
Yeah, causing, you know, sometimes migraine. Things that could fuck them up would be somebody going, A-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n-n- to be like, you're a fucking asshole. I fucking hate you.
So, I mean, dude, this year's been hectic. There's been a lot of things, a lot of deals. Next year, I will be on tour for the better part of the year. 26 weeks, to be exact. I'll get back to the dates and the actual name of the tour on both the website and the Facebooks and all that stuff, since we cross-promote everywhere.
Yeah.
Facebook, Instagram.
And across the Creature Entertainment Network, yeah. Across what we have for Goblin's Heist, Diver 13. So, yeah, this will be out to as many fucking people as possible. And if you're listening to this, you know, RT it. Share it. Tell other people about it.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the other thing that we have to, like, tell people. Like,
yeah, marketing.
Marketing. Promote us.
You want us to live.
Yeah,
you
I know.
You better make sure that
I know. Like, tell sure people here. That we're here. Pass flyers. Talk to people, you know? Yeah.
But on the flip note, like, I was talking about it with Nelson the other day. It's supposed to be dead season right now for tattooing. Yeah. And we've been getting every day at least two or three. Yeah. And they're
Leave at, like, 9 or 10 o'clock at night.
I'm here till like, 2 o'clock
in the morning. And you're here. Sometimes. And then I come back at, like, 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, and you're here. So
I don't sleep. We all know that I'm a robot.
No.
When it comes down to that, I just, hey,
yeah.
How's everybody doing? When do you sleep? Sunday, maybe.
Maybe.
Monday when we're
talking. I think like one day you took off in the last month.
Christmas.
No, it was like before that. There was like a Sunday. Well, everybody took off Christmas, motherfucker, but.
I still came in, though.
Yeah.
I bumped into John.
Yes.
And we were just talking and shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been kind of crazy.
But even then, the day you took off, Nelson was here, and we still had Watkins, right. You know, so
and I still had to like make phone calls for my phone.
Yeah,
because you guys called me. Hey, something's going on. Fuck! There's no day off. So, I don't take days off. We've established this now.
No.
But I'm currently taking bookings for now, February. I know it's every 2 weeks I'll be out of here. So, because every 2 weeks.
Because the weekends are going to be fucked.
And it's only the weekends. It's I'm out of here Thursday night, and I come back Monday morning, usually. Yeah. So, but that's starting next year. I think it's like the last week of January I'm out. I don't know which con I'm at. Which one is it? It's a Walker Stalker con or something like that. I don't know what it is yet. I need to get the details from the promoter. And then, yeah, just been pretty crazy. We're going to go and do some cool stuff in February, but we'll get back into that like later in the podcast for the shop. We're going to get a new storefront.
Yeah, hopefully soon.
So,
yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that we're going to be doing. The shop is growing. The things are going to be put together. It's going to be cool, but just takes time, takes money.
Money.
Yeah, money's a hoe.
That's the one.
That's a motherfucker. Yeah, so, oh, by the way, we didn't win the Powerball last night. So. Not like I would forget to tell you.
Not yet.
Oh, by the way, we won $300 million.
If you didn't show up today, I'd be like, this motherfucker, like, where do you go?
I just walk in with, like, a fucking fur coat and, like, gold boots. What? I'm
on whale flare, motherfucker. Like, let's go. What are you talking about? How the fuck? I mean, that's enough for the tattoo side, I guess. Like, everything's been going good. Touring's gonna happen next year. I'm actually gonna try and do some local tattoo shows as well. Let's see if I can get into Tattoo Lapalooza for the summer show. And if... I'm not sure. I don't know if it's the... Maybe Gathering of the Giants. But let's see how that goes.
We have to do some research.
Yeah, I have to do a lot of research on what shows I gotta do.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that we have to figure out. Because there's also...
SuperCon.
The cross... Because, like, you're at C2E2 when we're at C2E2.
I should be at C2E2.
You know, we're going to be at the certain shows at the same time.
You're San Diego, right?
San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego.
We're in, but, you know, we got to fucking...
They don't allow tattooing there.
We're going to rob a bank or something. I don't know.
I'll probably just be at the creature booth with you guys for that one.
Being claustrophobic like the rest of us?
I was fine. You guys were the ones that are like, I gotta leave the booth. If you remember correctly, I barely left the booth unless you did.
What? Oh, no. New York?
New York.
No, I'm saying San Diego. You're gonna want to kill yourself. San Diego is horrible. San Diego is sitting there like...
Not the city, just the con.
Yeah.
But not even the con.
Like, I'm gonna go to the bathroom, and 5 minutes later, I'm like only 4 feet away from you. Like, I'm going to the bathroom.
Well, New York had thing, too. Like, but the line for the bathroom was stupid. And you go into the bathroom, and you're just like, holy shit.
It's a punch in the face.
No pun intended. It was, like, more, like, hellish shit. Like,
yeah.
It was bad.
It was an international house of ass.
But you found that, like, that crevice.
Oh.
Upstairs.
The secret. Shangri-La.
Shangri-La.
The private bathroom that was left to the side. That's for, like, celebrities, I think. So just think about it, you know? You could be putting your ass where, you know.
Well, the security guard, like, he tried to stop us, too. You're like, I already been up here.
Yeah.
And we're just, like, following you, like, okay, let's go.
When all else fails, go, like, what? I don't know, what? I don't know, where am I? You know.
But that dude was
why are you touching me there? And then, like, you know, they're like, okay, just go to use the fucking bathroom. Fuck off already.
But that guy was, like, 1 foot in the grave, too. Like, he was, like,
90. I know, that's, like, the security, like, you really gonna stop me?
Yeah.
I punch you, you turn into flour. Like, you just, like, it's just a big dust. It's like a uniform in dust.
Yeah. So that's con circuit. Next year, the con circuit is going to be crazy for all of us.
Yeah, we're going to be in and out of here. The store will be open.
Everything
will
be fine. Nelson will be here tattooing. We're probably going to have another
artist
here.
Nelson will be here, and Danny will be here handling some of the store.
Danny will be here. Like, for those of you know,
Emmy might be here. We'll be here.
Yeah.
If Emmy's not at a show with us.
Yeah, if Emmy's not at a show, because he's doing really good, too, on both ends.
That's another new addition, Apprentice. Emmanuel Sotomayor.
Yeah, and Emmy and Emmanuel Sotomayor just agreed to do our pencils for one of our books.
One
of your books. He's doing two of your books.
Yeah.
He's doing one of my books, which is going to go up for, I guess, auction. Let's see who picks it up.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully Creature. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Let's see what happens.
Remember, it just needs to be good.
It needs to be good. Well,
you know. If we can accomplish that, you know.
There's... Anna, she's also an apprentice here. And then there's Danny, which is always here. He's always
Danny's our big gay
and
bear.
And Jose. Yeah,
he's a big gay bear. The Laurel and Hardy.
Disclaimer, he's not really gay.
He's a cool guy, but
we just say he's gay.
He's a big gay bear.
He has soft features.
He has like claws. He has his claws. It was just like, you know.
But if he ever gets mad, retard strength. Arms I know. Pockets, blood everywhere. We have Jose, too.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. Little Jose.
Yeah, but that's...
The human tripod, as we call it.
Human tripod, yeah.
We're not going to go any further into that. Anyway, we're going to be done with that part, so...
He has a huge penis.
Yeah, dude. He'll never fall face forward.
Yeah.
No. He has a kickstand.
Yes.
Anyway.
Let's say he has his own equipment for pole vaulting.
Wow. Is that, like, aerodynamic? Like, I'm thinking about it now. Like, thanks
He's
for...
He's a human sundial.
There you go. He just has to lay down.
Yeah.
It is noon. Yeah. It is always noon.
Yeah.
What else, like, shop-wise?
Again, well, we're, you know, new storefront, mostly reconstructing. More comics. I think we have expanded comics since the last time.
Yeah, we have.
The new comics are being expansive. More indies.
Dude, the indies are kicking ass right now,
too. Yeah. No, well, they're the best stories. It's hard to sell anything else.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm like a big fan of Wonder Woman, and I've been trying to sell her book, and it's just, it's kind of hard, because it's like, it's okay. But now Grant Morrison's Year One is coming out for Wonder Woman, which is a hardcover instead of a comic, so that's something that we have in February.
Let me say that all the Year One series have been pretty fucking good.
That's why I'm excited about it. You know that there's a lot of shit to it, though. Like, already people are talking shit. Like, Grant Morrison did the Grant Morrison thing and made it weird. Like, there's a lot of bondage in it, and there's a lot of other shit.
So, and that's like, weird. People, why?
Well, that's... Well, you know, we're talking about the sexism and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So, yeah.
Oh, please, dude.
Well, like, what he did is that he brought it back to the original Wonder Woman, which is, like, the original 47-issue run before the creator died.
Yeah.
Where, you know, her one weakness is that if you bound her, you know, her powers would go away. So now the Amazons all have that ability and disability. If you bind them. So now he's made it into a fetish culture where binding and enslaving is part of their culture. Like, there's a whole thing.
Sounds fucking awesome!
That when she gets involved with Trevor, she tells him, like, here, put this collar on. Like, if you want to talk about love and you want to be truthful to me, you put this collar on. And hence why, like, there's this whole thing. And so I was reading, because there's a leaked review copy. There's a company, I forgot the name of the company, they put it on Bleeding Cool that they had a review copy, and it came out, and you can read it, and yada, yada, yada. And I went and flipped through some of the pages. I think it's interesting as shit. I can see where, like, there's this it's not anti-feminist, it's not anything like that. I think it's, like, this other way of looking at female mentality in an aggressive form. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, women aren't aggressive in the same way as men. They're just not. Men are aggressive, and we hit, and we do this, and we do that. Women are aggressive in a more sensual or more layered way, I guess. You know, that's what it's kind of trying to show.
I see him, like, really, like, struggling to find
because it's just so... I know, I don't want to be like, you know, and it's not sex, it's this domination thing. So there's, like, really interesting in it. And they kind of introduce it. And, I mean, on both sides for anything, people might be like, what the fuck? You know? Like, on any side. Because it brings it to a fold.
You bring BDSM
really
into any conversation, and somebody that's not familiar, they're going to be like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, this is fucking weird. And it's like, it's not.
Yeah.
But I've noticed, like, the last 3 years, everything's kind of had this whole BDSM feel to it lately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot more open towards that, like, open culture towards that, I guess.
It's just
more than ever.
It's known that it's there. I think, and this is my thing with it, and I think that's where people have to be careful with bringing it into the popular mind, is not because of shame. Like, fuck it, that's your thing. That's your thing.
Yeah.
But just if you don't want criticism, you don't bring it to the forefront.
Exactly.
Most people allow you to have it. You know, allow you to have it. Like, just for, you know, and only the true bigot assholes will be the ones that come in and say we want to eliminate it. But as long as it's closed doors, no one gives a fuck.
Yeah.
You know? This brings it to the forefront. It's Wonder Woman and blah, blah, blah. And I'm surprised that they're doing this at the same time you have the Batman Superman film and the Wonder Woman coming out.
Yep.
So it's, like, kind of crazy. But I think it's still a strong story because what I was reading was interesting and I wanted to follow it.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. It was also interesting because it's not just Wonder Woman but all the Amazons. because now you start seeing all the different characters that have been Amazons, and you see Donna Troy, and you see all these other characters in the background, and they're already in their costumes. So they're like, oh, they're like different types of Wonder Woman, you know? So it's kind of interesting to see that happen. Though, then again, on the modern Wonder Woman front, with the storyline that's happening now, and her being the God of War, I kind of dug that more, and they're already, not retconning, but it's already being taken away. I hate it. I was reading it, and I was like, ah, fuck, come on, really? I liked her being the God of War. I like that she's the killer. I always say the same shit. I love her being the killer.
Well, she is. She always has been.
Of the Trinity, she's the one wielding the chop. Well, not since, what, when she killed...
back in 05, dude.
What, this guy, Lord?
Yeah, Lord. And she also
Max
killed...
Max Lord or whatever. No, that was, like, proved her.
But if you haven't read this shit, you're 10 years too late.
Yeah.
When she killed Trevor.
Yeah.
Like, she snapped his fucking neck, and she's like, it has to be done. Krah! Oh, shit!
And in Kingdom Come, too.
Yeah.
She was the warmonger in Kingdom Come. She was just like, you look at Batman and Superman, like, you guys need to stop being fucking pussies and cull the fucking, the herd, you know? And they're all like, whoa, bitch, like, calm down. And be like, we call him bitch. And
that shit turns nasty.
Right? Yeah. And that, so I always love that idea, that she's the one willing to do what these two amazing figures are willing to do. And she's the fucking warrior. So I thought that
That's why I always liked Wonder Woman. I mean, yeah, okay, there's a BDSM aspect to it. There's a, what is it that they're saying now, anti-feminist aspect to her? But there's not. She's a strong fucking female lead.
Exactly.
Like,
and then the thing is that, because remember, the thing is that the idea, the real idea.
Everybody has had their bondage moment. Fucking Doomsday. Doomsday was wearing a fucking gimp suit, if you remember correctly. Like, he's a fucking
I never
gimp
thought
woman.
Of it that way. But that's
And he was in a cage.
Yeah.
Dude, really? And you're the one that killed Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Or put him in a coma, at least.
Mm-hmm. Once you were free.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
But remember, the idea, too, is that with feminism, true feminism, is not about female empowerment over male, but female empowerment so that everyone's equal.
Equal, yeah.
That we're in an equal thing. So if you're talking about that, yeah, there's going to be things that you might be more than and less than in that instance.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
That's the one thing I was kind of digging about the whole thing. So, I mean, I think that's going to be cool. I want to support the hell out of that book when it comes out in February. It's a hardcover, so we only ordered a couple of copies because they go for $20 each.
So worth it. Yeah. Buy your copy. Pre-order it.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to
we'll buy more.
Yeah. For the love of God, people, if you want shit, come on and tell me, please.
Don't tell us, like, last minute. Like, yo, did you pick this up?
Yeah, because you don't pre-order it.
Fucking mind readers, guys. Yeah.
No, I'm going to try to do for the next year be more aggressive on certain things. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have a certain catalog here, and we're going to be, like, certain things we're going to push.
Yeah.
And then other stuff, like, as they come out, like, remember we were looking at the Diamond catalog yesterday, and I was just like, what about this book? What do you think of this one? So, like, we can say, okay, this is the stuff we're going to support.
Yeah.
Bring it to the forefront. Tell the customers as they come in, hey, here, this is what we're looking at. What do you want? Anything on this? And see about putting something like that together.
Well, on that aspect, too, for the tattooing portion, our prices are going up next year.
Yeah.
In February, we're going to do a price hike. We were at $120 an hour. We're going to go up to $140 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever is at that $80 an hour bracket from before, they keep it. Anything that you were at before, that's where you're going to stay at.
Mm-hmm.
But all through January, we're taking our final, I guess, consultations and bookings for the final pricing. So that way, when we come into, like, February, March, April, June, July, all the rest of the year, you know, you have your price locked as well.
Yeah.
And, of course, that entails leaving a deposit. Just like with the books. For some of the books, you're going to have to leave a deposit because we've had a couple of instances where we'll order something.
And we'll order left high
and
dry.
They're like, oh, no, yeah, we got it somewhere else. Or whatever the case may be.
And my thing, too, is like, and I understand. Like, I understand sometimes. And and depending on the customer, I give them breaks. Like I say, if you want to haggle, I'm willing to haggle. But, like, you know. You get into a subscription, you might not show up for a month or something. You may tell me what's up. You know, hey, man, I haven't been able to come. Then you come in and say, hey, I don't want this. I don't like this book anymore. And I'm like, dude, you can't. You got to tell me this beforehand so I don't pick up another copy. Because for every copy I pick up that's for you, there might be another copy of something I'm not going to pick up.
Exactly.
So, you know, people are jumping ship on a thing. Like, I mean, the economics of a comic shop are really fucking hard. Unless you have the big items. And I have people all the time, like, hey, do you still have that statue? You still have this Funko? I'm like, yeah, man. Oh, I'm going to pass by tonight and get it.
And they never come.
Cricket. Cricket.
Yeah.
Cricket.
That happened with the Emperor Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
Until one day, like, somebody randomly, I need it as a birthday gift. Yes, take it.
Yeah.
It's been sitting here for, like, 2 months.
Yeah, I have, like, I gain nothing from, like, having stuff sitting here.
Yeah.
You know, everything has to go out the door. So, I mean, that's like when we push stuff. And that's like if you want to know what those kind of things are going on or what we have going on, check out our email list.
The website.
Yeah, the website and the email list, you know. Just, you know, let me know what you guys are looking at or what you're really going for, you know. That's the main thing.
Yep.
You know, and we're going to try to do better on our end, you know.
Yeah.
So
on that note, like, look, again, the books this year, let's go ahead and recap the books this year that we've all, like, read and fucking
what
loved.
Three did you fucking dig?
Oh, man, my top three? Fuck, that's hard. Top
yeah,
three?
Yeah. That was this. I was thinking like that.
They were all indies. They were all indies. Fight Club was one of them.
Fight Club has to be in my top three, too, but I'm just trying to think about it because
there
we
is
did stop. We
book.
Stopped. We stopped. I stopped at issue four, and we've had readers tell
I'm
us,
at
like,
issue six, seven. I need to catch up to the last one.
Yeah. And they said that there's a big hump.
There's a hump. There's a hump. I'm not going to say what it is, but there's a hump there that's just like, what? And then we lost a lot of subscribers because of that shit, too. Like
issue five killed it for some people.
For some people, and it was... But it's a good book. It's a really good book. It revisits Tyler Durden's life, I guess. Like, it's a whole new telling story of him. It's a really fucked up one, too. Like, you find out the real origins of how Tyler Durden came to.
Nah.
And what his plans are, and it's really fucked up. Like, it's I can't go into further detail because it gives away too much of the story. Beauty. The Beauty is so fucking good.
Another one I stopped, like, at issue two or three, just because I said, all right, I'm going to read it as a graphic novel.
It reads, look, if what I did was I collected them, and then I just kind of, like, boom, just read all in one shot. And it was really good. Really good. And I want to say the last one, it's a recent title. There's only four issues right now. It's Tokyo Ghost. Mm-hmm. That one's really good, too. It's almost like the used technology thing that we talked about once.
Yeah.
Like, it's a futuristic world.
Used
where,
future. Yeah.
Yeah, the used future thing. And it's kind of like Akira. That's the best way I can put it. It's kind of
like
Akira.
Well, it has those same aesthetics with the motorcycle.
Exactly.
And
it's fucking dope. Like, it's really dope. There's a couple of graphic novels that were picked up this year. Witches was pretty good.
Witches was really good.
Also an indie. Black Science, which is the one that you introduced me to.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I love that because it was one of those things for me, and I think it's Hickman, and him and his wife, Deconic, are both, like, I think, acolytic. They have their own voice, but very acolytes to Warren Ellis.
Yeah,
and Warren Ellis is one of those guys, and he says it, like, he feeds his brain a bunch of fucking shit. Like, he reads all these articles, and then that's what makes the story.
Yeah.
And I think Hickman comes from that, too, but he's very good at the drama, so, like, you know, just those opening pages of Black Science, you're just like, what the fuck, you know?
Well,
and
shit, it gets the you first two pages, you're like, oh, shit, this is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were, like, really good books. On the mainstream side, I guess Secret Wars was pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
DC, wow, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry for bad-mouthing DC.
Yeah, I'm telling you, on all fronts,
man,
Wonder
dude.
Woman was my one thing. I really liked it when Cliff Chang was doing it, and, oh man, what's this guy? Not Brubaker, but I forgot the other writer. When they were doing their run, I really dug it. That introduced the whole idea of the God of War and everything. I was a huge fan of that Wonder Woman series, and now I'm just kind of like, this is mierda. Like, now it's kind of like, I feel like it's in a holding pattern for another... Brubaker.
Brubaker, yeah.
It's in another holding pattern for like, another creator. Like, they're waiting for Grant Morrison.
They're waiting
run.
For the next big thing.
Yeah. You can tell. Like, we're in a holding pattern. Let's do a couple of stories.
DK3, though. Like, DK3...
I flipped through the second issue. The first issue, I found it interesting.
It's interesting.
If you're a fanboy of that DK run, and you read 2, and you dug 2, because there's people that dropped off.
Yeah.
Dark Knight Returns, awesome.
It's
you
a hard...
You cannot look. Not like Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Returns is the best. Dark Knight Strikes Back, which is DK2. That was a hard read, but once you got through it, it made sense, and it was really... Yeah. Like,
and
like
see,
said,
for some people,
really
like,
satisfying.
I dug the artwork. I dug the fact that he was getting fucking crazy with the drawing.
Yeah.
I liked it.
He's very loose.
But then when we saw DK3, and we already saw, like, the Superman image and some of the stuff that was coming out, we're like, okay, this nigga's going nuts with this shit. like, Frank Miller's going crazy with this fucking look.
But as we all know, like, Frank Miller's not completely behind the artwork anymore.
No, not at all. And now I flipped through DK3 issue 2, but we sold out of them, so I didn't fucking... This is the downfall.
I have my copy over there.
once I was reading it and I flipped through it, some of the work looked great, and I thought that the story was going into some interesting places, fucked up places. So it's playing for keeps. You know, it's a very much a playing for keeps kind of fucking storyline. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. I don't think it's groundbreaking like it used to be.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. It's almost... It's a nostalgic factor.
Yeah, I guess it could be.
Constantine was a decent read, but there's a lot of things. Like, I couldn't get behind it. And I know I'm going to sound like an asshole, but it's not because of that. It's just that threw me off completely. And the first issue, he fucks a tranny demon. Yeah. And I'm just like, wow. Like, I knew he was bisexual. You ever had a
drunken Friday night, bro? Is this some legend?
No, it's always been hinted that John Constantine's bisexual. He's into this dark realm of the occult and shit like that.
Well, he would be above what is sexuality. I mean,
exactly.
Like, I mean, if you're this guy who like just sees the nether realms constantly, sexuality is like a passe thing almost.
Exactly.
You know, it's like.
But it, like that threw me off because I was like, wow, I didn't expect that shit at all. It was cool. It was cool, but I didn't expect that. I think that was one of the better aspects of it. It doesn't really delve into like what Hellblazer used to delve into.
Yeah.
It's like a new take.
Well, that goes back into a PG-13 just like for take on it, just like know? For me, you know, like X-Men. I'm a big follower of X-Men. I read all the X-Men books. You know, Iceman.
X-Men 600 was awesome.
Yeah, that was a great one, and you know, the sign off on the whole series. But you know, getting into the other ones, that you know, they decide to resolve and answer some questions. You know, especially what Bendis put in. You know, mm-hmm. Iceman being gay. So young Iceman's gay.
And then, older Iceman's not.
Yeah, and what? Then older Iceman's gay now.
Now he's gay.
And right? It was like talking about it. And there were some parts of it that were very truthful. Like, why would you repress that? Why would you follow that? It's like, well, it was enough being hated as a mutant. I didn't want to be hated to be gay by being gay, too. So I was like, wow, yeah. That's very poignant. But, and it made the change less of a stunt and more of a story.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where you still sit there going, is this just...
Well, kind of
are you fucking catering? Are you fucking catering? And that's the only thing. And catering in a way of like it's like putting a rad patch on your a rad sticker on your car, thinking you're cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not that you're. I'm not sitting there saying that they're trying to make it trivial, so a character being gay. But are they really thinking that that somehow makes it relatable? Just because the character.
But that's
gay.
Always been X-Men, though.
Yeah.
X-Men's always been that comic, along with Spider-Man. That's like. Oh, we can relate, you know. I think that's what they're trying to go for again. Like,
yeah, but then they always do these things that I think are, to a certain degree, a fucking faux pas, like a real fuck up. And you can tell it's a white guy writing it, like right there, white guy writing it, like white guy writing alert, like white guy writing alert, white guy writing alert. Why? Because you have characters like Dust, who's a Muslim who has sand powers. Dude,
whoa.
You just all you've done is just make wow, like
wow.
And this is Jorge. He shoots tacos out of his ass. Like, fuck you, dude. Like, yeah. After a while, you're not... I understand what you're trying to do, and you're trying to bring me in. You're trying to invite me in, but you're insulting me at the same time.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, hey, man, come to the party. We have tacos. Fuck you, dude. Like, I'm still going to go and eat your tacos, but I'm not going to be happy about it, you know? So that was a thing, too. So... But overall, the series, like X-Men, it was, you know, but now look by the other side of it. Like, the new Wolverine, the female Wolverine. To me, that's the most surprising of the whole series. Like, you know, some of our cousins, like, Omar's picking it up and Nelson's reading it. I'm reading it. It's a good fucking story. Like, it's a good story. It's a good Wolverine story.
Yeah.
Well, people don't realize, it's a good Wolverine story. So, it's, you know, with X-23 and she finds out all the shit and all this stuff, she's in Paris and Europe and she's doing all this stuff. She's doing what Wolverine does best kind of thing. It works, and it's so awesome, and at the same time, not catering to anybody.
Well, there we go back into the whole thing where it's a strong female lead now.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And there's a lot of parts, like, you know, you could hear the fanboy assholes from afar be like, what the fuck did that with Wolverine? And what the oh, she doesn't kill? She doesn't want to kill because she's been an assassin her whole life.
Yeah.
And she proves it every time. She beats the fuck out of somebody, and she's about to stick a claw in their face, snicked, puts it back in, and punches them. And be like, just so you know, I could have fucking killed you. You know?
Yeah.
But she's trying to be the better person, be the best Wolverine she can be, and make sure. So I think that was really poignant. And of all the Marvel books, that's the one I'm, like, really enjoying. Like, every time it comes to the shop, I'm like, I'm picking it up and reading it already. you know, because I want to fucking keep up with that. That one I have no problem keeping up with.
Yeah. I mean, Constantine, I'm still bringing up. Doctor Strange was the shit. Is the shit.
And I think I have to still have to read issue 3.
It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit.
And with Benedict Cumberbatch pictures out.
Oh, just got out? Oh, dude.
This is the year of Doctor Strange. Yeah. I think Doctor Strange is going to become... I don't know. Do you think it'll be Iron Man famous? Will we have little kids running around? Nah.
I mean, Marvel said it. It's supposed to be the Fantasia of Marvel.
Yes. That was a bold fucking statement, so let's see what they do. And I think I hear about it.
I'm down for it, man. On the flip side, DC, sorry, Dr. Fate sucked.
Oh, yeah.
It was horribly drawn, horribly written, everything was just bad.
We have one customer picking it up. Well, it's fucking Fawad. Fawad's only picking it up, and he's like, "Nah, I'm supporting my Muslim characters." And I'm like, "Really, dude? Just because of
Marvel, bro?"
Well, he picks up Ms. Marvel. He picks up Ms. Marvel, but I'm like, Ms. Marvel works. Doctor Fate, unfortunately, doesn't. I didn't think it was horrible. Now that's my thing. Dude. I looked at Doctor Fate and I read it. I just thought it was like boring.
It's horrible. Everything about it.
Then again, I only read like issues 1 and 1.5 or something like that.
Yeah.
1 second. We had to stop because of the phone. But what were you saying? Oh yeah, so Dr. Fate sucked ass.
Yeah. Bad. Fuck.
I'm trying to think of other books that I'm like. I'm thinking of all the books that every time we bring them
Secret Wars, X-Men 92. They're bringing it back good it was. Yeah. It was so fucking... It was like reading X-Men.
I didn't read it. I didn't really care. I was like,
that's because you never picked it up.
I was like...
You trusted my word on this one.
Yeah. No, I was like... No, I thought it was going to be good because everybody... I think that's the most popular X-Men. And if anything, more popular than even the movies.
Yeah.
That version of the X-Men, the 92 X-Men, the cartoon X-Men. Those are the most popular. That's the X-Men everybody knows.
But you know what, though? Out of the whole Secret Wars thing, outside of Secret Wars itself, the main story, the only story arcs that were worth a damn, at least to me, were the X stories.
Yeah.
And it kind of brought me back to
X-Men. Old Man Logan was a big seller. People were
clamoring. I didn't get too far into that one. It wasn't my cup of tea, I guess. I like the original Old Man Logan. This one, the artwork was a little bit too weird. I liked it. I just didn't know if it fit Wolverine. You know what I mean? Logan. But regardless of anything, it was a really good seller, and it was actually pretty good, like, you know, according to everybody. Mm-hmm. I didn't get too far into it. Mm-hmm. Dude, there's a few others, man. Diesel. For being, like, a kid-friendly, like, crazy fucking book, it was pretty cool.
Most asshole book to fucking find. Every time we ordered it.
Well, it sells out. Dicked. Boom Studios are doing something good.
Yeah. You know? No, they did good. But, I mean, it was like that fucking issue pissed me off so bad. Because just like issue two. We didn't get any of it. We didn't get another issue two.
Another one. Welcome Home.
Welcome Home.
Welcome Home is the shit, and it's fucking sold out everywhere.
Yeah.
It's so good.
We couldn't get it.
It's so good. But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. The Spider-Verse stuff, like, it didn't really capture my attention.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I fell off Amazing Spider-Man. All the Spider-Man titles I'm off.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Spider-Gwen 2.
Done. Like, I'm just done.
Like, everyone's like, meh. Yeah. Rat Queen still fucking kicking ass.
Rat Queen still kicking ass.
I was reading... I got to finish reading 14. What else? I mean, some of the stuff I fucking dug was like...
What was the whole thing with Rat Queens? It was something about the artist, right?
The artist that was started the series, and I think he got to like issue 9 or so... He got busted for pretty much spousal abuse. He hit his wife, something to do with his kids. I didn't read too much into it. There's like two sides to the story. Some people are saying the wife is trumping up the stuff. He pretty much just left her and the kids. So that was like one side of it too. Other people were saying that he didn't just leave her, that she has mental issues. There's a lot of stuff to it. But because of that, there was like a big attack on it. And I think it was a mutual agreement that he bowed out from the book with the creators. And they didn't have anything bad to say to him about him. But he knew that was just like going to be negative press for the book.
Yeah, of course.
But then there's people that are pissed off because he still does cons, he still does stuff, and he's selling prints of the Rat Queens. Like, you know, he sells prints and images and drawings that he's done of the Rat Queens, and it is his artwork.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Whatever the case may be, it's your artwork. you sell it if you have to. Yeah. You know what I mean, like,
and I think he has creator credit, so it's like, it's his too. You know,
exactly. Wow, I didn't know that was it.
Yeah, so that was a whole So that was the whole thing, and so you know, and it's funny because
this is a heavy podcast. If you haven't noticed, like, we've gone over like everything.
Yeah. So that was like one of the things, and that's when the artwork was a little shitty for a bit. I have to admit, I don't want to shit on the artist. Maybe they had to do it in a rush to complete stuff for everything. But there was like issues like 10 and 11. There was some parts there that you're like, ah. But they have a new artist now on issue 12, and since then it's been pumping really good.
Yeah.
And the story kept going. So if anything, I applaud them because they kept the book going and everything else, even through the adversity.
Speaking of like D&D-esque storylines, Headlopper.
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 You know what's funny? I haven't read it at all.
Really?
I think I read the first 8 pages of the first issue. And I enjoy the fucking work. Amazing. I love the Raphael Grandpa cover of issue 1 because I'm a huge Grandpa fan. But I haven't sat down to read it. I think I picked up like a second printing of the first issue.
If you like, it's like D&D meets almost Hellboy-ish type deal. Like, it's really fucking good.
Yeah.
Hellboy. Hellboy's coming back again.
Yeah, and but not many people are. Dude, it's such a hard seller in this fucking shop. We had a lot of BPRD back issues. Yeah. You know, I was a huge fan of the BPRD. I'm a little lost though, and I've been noticing now, like in the previews, some of the companies, what they've been doing is putting these advertisements that help clear up how the reading order for some of these series are, because you can tell people are either dropping off or they're not picking up the readers because there's just so much fucking material that you're lost. Transformers. IDW put a fucking thing in there, 2-page spread showing all the storylines that they have, the 4 storylines that are there, and what you should read before those storylines. Because there's Wing Blade, there's this, and everything else. Because they're also doing, IDW is doing that what the fuck is it called? Insertion? Where they change something. They're going to do like a what if. They're doing what if issues.
Oh, okay.
So it's like the interesting ones. It's Scully and Mulder on the cover.
You told me about X-Files. That. You told me about
no,
that.
No, but this is it. Scully and Mulder on the cover, but it's a female Mulder. And she's like, no, I gotta get inside. Fox could be in there. I gotta save my brother.
What?
Because remember the storyline.
Yeah.
It was Fox's sister that was that disappeared. So in this one, it's the sister.
Wow.
With Scully.
That's fucking cool.
Another one they show Shredder attacking this place, and Casey Jones is all beat up, and he takes on all these foot soldiers. He goes, now you will fight my elite group, and all of a sudden it's the Turtles coming out, and they're dressed like Foot Clan.
Holy shit.
So there's that story, and that's what they're doing. They're doing these like weird little, yeah, we flipped it on your head, motherfucker stories. So it's interesting. Jesus. So IDW is doing interesting shit, and like, because of that, they're going back and saying, all right, if you're going to read this series, this is where you want to read. You know, the Transformers one, I was going to send it to Martin Piero of Cosmic Times because we're both fucking Transformer nerds, but it was from Transformers the movie, and it shows Optimus Prime about to blast, you know, Megatron, and Hot Rod's like, you know, watch out, Optimus. And luckily, Cup is holding him. So it's the what if is like, what if Hot Rod never got involved with that fight and Optimus was able to blow away Megatron?
Oh, shit.
So that was another one.
That's pretty fucking cool.
So there's a lot of stuff. But they have a lot of universes that they take for granted that people might follow it, and they don't know what's up. Like, we don't know what's going on in them. And I think they take it for granted. So IDW's kind of clear it up, and I think they need to do that in a couple other, like, BPRD. Dark Horse needs to do that. I'm lost with BPRD, and I've read a shit ton of it. I don't know what to do. You know, do you read Plague of Frogs first? Do you read this one first? There's this one. Then there's, like, you know, and they go back. So they'll have BPRD 1952, 1953.
Yep.
So now I'm like, what the fuck am I reading? You know? And it's cool if you follow the characters, but if you're just jumping in...
Yeah.
And we have that all the time. Like, companies need to realize that people don't know shit. I have people that, you know, how many people come in here and say, where do I start in Spider-Man? Like, how do you answer that? Spider-Man? But
that goes down to the whole thing. It was Stan Lee that said it, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. Every comic
It's someone's first comic.
Yeah, it should be able to be read like somebody's first comic.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's a little bit complicated because there's, like...
No, and that's part of the flavor, is understanding the history.
Yeah.
So, like, if you've eaten cheeseburgers your whole fucking life,
yeah,
and they say, this is the best fucking cheeseburger you're going to ever eat, you have a lot of library to relate to. Like, nigga, I've eaten In-N-Out. I've eaten here. I've eaten there.
I've had some good burgers. Let me tell you right now. Like, Gilbert's and fucking... By Marina Mile. Hey,
it's not Fatty McButterpants podcast, all right? Let's not fucking go because we'll both be talking about burgers. That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, you're right.
There's the burger podcast. Hungry. We're just sitting there. Is that right. What it is? So that's, I mean, you know, that's some of the stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, that's some of the stuff. So those are the things I'm looking forward to. But and in comics this year, I mean, there's a couple of them that, Island.
Yeah, I would say, which ones are your now top?
Island is the one I really fucking dug. And that's really? That's an anthology. And
I haven't read that one yet.
Yeah, those are, we have issue 5 on the stand right now. We tend to sell them out. It's always a couple, you know, it's like Hyro buys it. Tend to buy it.
Gyro. Yeah. Burnt Comics. Just dropped on shelves this week.
Well, this week, unofficially.
Unofficially.
Because officially, it's in two weeks.
It comes out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, in two weeks or so. I'm still trying to make sure we have a good street date.
The prints came out.
We're going to do a signing. I want to do a signing in the store, so I'll probably announce it next week. I want to do a signing with Hyrule here, and since I did the other variant cover.
Yeah, definitely we'll should look out for Gyro Lantigua, beast-ass fucking artist.
He just sent me the cover for issue 2. It looks awesome.
Ooh.
So, no, it's kicking ass, dude. He's getting there. Nice. So, if anything, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's coming up that's going to be really fucking cool. I think the big thing is going to be, you know, getting our ducks in a row and making sure everything works out right. But, like, you know, with Island, since it's a consortium of stories, it's headed up by these amazing fucking comic book artists. We just cannot, you know, we can't do any wrong, you know? Like, we just love the shit out of it. So we've been following that like crazy. As far as the other alternative comics, I'm trying to think of all the comics that when they come in, I go nuts for and I read. Because there's some that I don't really give a shit. That Batman and Robin Eternal, have you read it at all?
Yeah, actually, I dug it. That was one of the few DC titles. I was like, all right, it's cool. It has, like, kind of an homage-y feel. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, kind of... Robin, holy Batsuits, Batman. You know, stuff like that. Yeah. It's kind of cool. Because
some people hate it, and some people are loving it, but they're fucking... It's a week-by-week comic.
Yeah.
So it's good for us as a store, because it brings the customers in every week. But by the other side of it, it's like, man, that's... I don't know. I guess I would be excited if I'm a fan. I'd be like, hey, great, there's a reason to go in every week.
It's good. The one thing that I would say that's actually a lot better is... And I didn't think it was going to be, but it turned out to be like, holy shit. I saw one of our customers reading it, one of our friends, Angry Willie. You'll see him at the store once in a while. Was Batman Europa.
Yeah.
Europa. That thing is insanely awesome. Yeah. Holy crap, it's awesome. I can't wait.
That was supposedly Jim Lee's Circle Jerk to Batman. Supposedly, if I remember right, the story...
He's had the story for like 15 years.
Yeah.
And then...
He always wanted to do it. He always wanted to do that story. And they just said, all right, fuck it. Like, release the hounds.
Well, fine. I mean, Jim Lee is one of the most smartest businessmen in comics ever.
Ever.
And one of the few that hasn't been sued by everybody.
Yeah. That kind of brings me back to why I've been trying to get into... Spawn recently, just with the shakeup of Eric Larson
and Todd McFarlane, apparently.
And Todd McFarlane,
everybody. Yeah.
And that's like, lately I've been trying to read Spawn again, and it's this like little part of me that wants to bring that back, like, hey, remember Spawn? Because everybody seems to light up when they remember Spawn, but then you start reading
it's a great book, but then it's only great up until like what, issue 100, I think it is, when Todd said, "Fuck it, I'm out." It was 50. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Todd said, "Fuck it, I'm out. I'm not even writing for it."
Yeah.
And
well, he's plotting. That's it.
He's plotting, but that's it.
That's him just coming in and saying, "This happens to Spawn, write it."
When Todd was piloting the entire thing, he's like, "Hey, I'm the captain."
Well, that's why we bought it. That's why we bought it, because everybody loved everything he did. Amazing Spider-Man, he was just the artist. Well, I say just the artist with quotes, because he was fucking gave it life. But it was just he was the artist on there. When he did the Spider-Man series, it's because he turned around and said, "I want to do my own book."
Yeah.
And I want to be paid X amount. They said, fuck it, you're gold. Everything you're spinning is fucking gold, so fuck it, we'll give you your own book. He did his own book. It was excellent.
Yeah.
Some of the stories in there were fucking wow. Then he sets off on his own. Everybody said, we'll go with you, Todd. He comes out with Spawn. Yeah. And that was a big golden age for indie comics, because we were all like, oh, shit, look at this fucking book. And
they lived like rock stars.
Yeah. And they were already, and they were, but they were doing a lot of fucking things, too. They were like, oh, the first one's a computer color. And, you know, do see it, because those covers.
Alex Sinclair. Yeah.
So when you saw the coloring, you're like, holy shit, this book is vibrant. Now you see it, it's dated, the coloring. But it was still fucking
good. But they weren't even using Photoshop back then. They're, or rather, they were using, like, the first Photoshop.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, great customers. Anyway.
We're back.
I think we gotta get used to that. Like, our podcasts are gonna be interrupted because
all the time.
Yeah.
But no, yeah. So, where were we? Spawn. Yeah, back in the day, indie comics and the
yeah.
The
so heyday. I like I was saying, Spawn, Savage Dragon's another one I've been getting into.
So fucking good. You're right.
Yeah, Savage Dragon is.
He reintroduced me to Savage Dragon again after it's been like what, like 5 years since I've read it or whatnot. And I'm like, holy shit, it's
better. It's fucked up. It's crazy. And I mean, for a $3.99 book, I think it's $3.99, you get a shit ton of story.
$2.99.
I think $2.99. It's
$2.99. Yeah.
So because of that, you get a shit ton of story. You get a shit ton of other shit. And that's the computer going off in the background. You get a shit ton of story. You get a shit ton of other stuff. So it's really worthwhile.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But yeah, on that note, the whole independent comic thing.
Yeah, Paper Girls, another one. Did you read it?
No.
Fucking excellent. Another Brian K. Vaughan book.
Oh, right. We Stand on Guard.
We Stand on Guard.
Fuck. That, you know
okay.
What?
Saga.
That should be in
Brian
there.
Saga. We Stand on Guard, and I still haven't read six. Six is on the shelf. I haven't read it.
Jesus.
Guy thought fifth was gonna cut off, and then it'll be like, oh, okay, we'll stop there. And then now they just come out with six. I think he's doing a monthly book for sure on that one. And Paper Girls and Saga is gonna do the 5-6 issue hump, collect to trade, wait a couple of months, then start again. And Paper Girls has Cliff Chang, the guy who was doing fucking Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, yeah.
And he was doing that's a great book right there. Like, if you read that book, it has, like, this 80s Goonies kind of thing to it, but with this fucked up time travel shit. It's kind of like if you're a fan of Fringe and how Fringe would just do weird, odd little things, and you're like, this is fucked up. It does the same shit.
Oh, cool.
So.
Yeah, that one I haven't read. Like, Paper Girls, I haven't read at all.
Yeah.
Dude, there's a lot of good shit.
And Saga is still fucking amazing. I read Saga, and it's every issue is just like, I love it so much. That's a series that, if it ever ends, I'm going to be sad about. Like, it probably has its definitive ending.
We all knew this deal.
At issue 60 or something, it'll stop, and I'll be like, fuck it, what the fuck? So, I mean, overall, it's been really good comics, really good graphic novels, and now we have a bunch of stuff coming out, you know, in the next year.
And Preacher's doing some crazy shit.
Yeah, we've been doing a bunch of different stuff. Hopefully, I don't want to say anything because we're still whittling everything down. But I can finally talk about Ted 2.
Yes,
we appeared in Ted 2. Yes, everybody should know that. If you look at the end and when they're New York City Comic Con, you will see our banner. When they see the crazy stunt where like a guy falls and pulls a, there's a chick that she's the three titty chick from Total Recall.
Yeah.
And the guy falls forward and a Goku falls forward and pulls her top down. that's in front of our booth. You'll see, you know, Creature Entertainment. You'll see our images. We'll see everything. Guy falls into our booth and our shit falls all over the place. Some people are like, there's an Asian chick that works for your fucking company. It's like, no, that was like a extra. That was there and everything else. So we did all that and we put that together. So that was cool to do that and work with the production company, sending them all our shit and everything. Me and Julio were like this close to like go being extras ourselves because we were willing to fly to Boston with all the shit and pretty much sleep in the car and attend
and do the movie,
you know, because we were going to shoot it in a gym over there. But I ended up doing it in California and a whole separate shoot and everything else. So we ended up doing that way.
Yeah. Well, your wheelhouse of artists, like, they're all doing really good right now.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, we got, you know, Emmy's doing a bunch of stuff for us. He's finishing up some stuff. Jairo brought his book Burnt to us, so we're doing different work. Jose's finishing up Ravenous. I'm finishing up Tommy. So we got a lot of stuff that we're finishing up.
And
I think
Jeff's
we're
doing pretty good stuff, too.
Jeff is kicking ass. Jeff just did that cover for the Sunspot cover, I think, for New Avengers.
Which was insane.
Yeah. He's getting more and more prolific every time. That's the cool thing about Jeff. Like, he gets better every time. Like, you know, me and him have talked about it. And even, it's not bad. But even the stuff he first started to do for Valiant and shit like that, like, he blows that away now.
Yeah.
Like, he blows that away.
And we had the pleasure of sharing a room with Jose Ruiz.
Oh, yeah. You got to be part of the fucking art circle jerk that fucking forms around Jose.
I'm not even talking about how you fucking, like, destroyed me for a second.
Oh, whatever. But I misinterpreted something you said. You worded it very badly, and the verbal Gatling guns had to come out.
Even Jose was just like, Xavier, draw more. You're there. Draw more. Yeah. He turned to you, he's like, damn, nigga, like, what the fuck?
Everyone should know I have a hair trigger when you say stupid shit around me. But, and I misinterpreted something.
But that was a really cool experience. Like, I came back from New York, like, ramped up and ready to go for everything.
And that's the osmosis effect. That's always been the same thing. If you pack these people into a room, one will work off another, you know?
Yeah.
And you'll find people. Like, look, Daniela Larez, that's another person that's working with. She's doing the covers and coloring for the gun. You know, she came in, we're drawing, we're doing a lot of video work here, you know, with Julio Alvarez. He's doing a lot of video setups and stuff like that. We have a couple of things that we're planning for t-shirts and designs and stuff with Fine Print Shop, with Jordan Steele there. So we're doing a lot of the different things that we're trying to get going and get moving and work off of.
And Emmy and I are putting out some stuff for those t-shirts as well. As well, the front of the store. Like,
yeah. So that's the whole thing. Like, the whole idea is that if we can incubate enough of these fuckers together, so that and me as an editor in chief, that's what I do. As an editor in chief of the, I go and say, all right, if I can get Patrick Riley here and Jeff DeCal here and Jose here and have them drawing, right? And then on the second tier, I have Daniela Larez and Amy and you, and I'll put you here, looking over and seeing that. That's gonna by osmosis, it's gonna affect you guys because you guys will see that and you'll see a path.
Yeah,
you'll see a path of doing something, and that's what will come. I think like we lost a lot of that because of the internet and how things are set up.
Yeah,
it's kind of harder. But I always look back at what Marvel had with the bullpen, and DC had when you had these offices of artists working together in the same space and looking over each other's shoulder. And as much as you can say, well, the competitiveness is bad, it's the best thing in the world.
It's the best thing
because everybody will up their fucking ante.
But now with the whole thing on that flip side is now with the whole thing with the internet. Is you gotta be hungry. Just like every other artist should be. Yes. You gotta be hungry. Like, I find myself sometimes just looking at Sullen TV and looking at, like, all their tattoo time lapses, under the skin interviews, and shit like that. And I'm just like, holy shit. Insane, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or just a random fucking artist, like, online and shit. And it's always good. Like, you can always look at Instagram. If you don't have the physical person there to be like, hey, yeah. Like, I'm in your inspiration right now because we're all drawing, we're all supposed to be doing something, then you can just go online. Mm-hmm. But yes, there is that whole, like, you're not being competitive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you're being kind of held back to it in a certain extent, you know what I mean? Like, when we were in New York, Jose was drawing, you were drawing, and I was drawing. Mm-hmm. And I did that Deadpool cover, which already sold.
Yeah.
Did the Hellboy cover, which already sold.
Yeah.
And Jose was doing all types of fucking crazy commission work for sketch covers, and so were you. Mm. So it's like, oh shit.
Well, that's the thing. You have to flex your muscle. And I think it's, again, osmosis. I think it's really, really, really... I learned that as a kid because I had an art teacher who moved me to art classes every semester. And I was, like, in middle school. I was in a middle school magnet program. And you had first and second period, which was an art class. Third and fourth period was an art class. And then it was, like, sixth and seventh was the last art class. And it's in there. When you're doing you would do your four regular classes, your extracurricular, and then those last two periods, instead of taking other extracurriculars, you had your art class. So you had these two-hour fucking art classes. That's how the middle school was. So when I started the semester, I was in the first and second one. And I'm like, all right, cool. This is the seventh graders. So I'm like, all right, so I'm supposed to be here. Then I started another semester, and he would change my schedule around, and I was all of a sudden in the third and fourth period one. And I go, Bob, why the fuck? And he was like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm like, all right, whatever. You know. So I did that one. And then that was with the 8th graders.
Pause.
Okay, again.
We're back.
The phone.
I have them both in my hand. Now I can mute them both.
He has, like, phone nunchucks right now.
Ever seen Kung Pao? I need gopher chucks.
No. You're not on the podcast.
Okay.
I'm going to fucking So anyway, my art teacher would move me to class. And finally, when he did a third semester, I was like, what the fuck, dude? Because now I was on the 6th and 7th period. I go, why? And he told me, osmosis. Because I was one of the more creative kids, and it was like with the crazy sketchbook and the crazy painting, everybody else would see me attack shit. Like, we'll get an assignment, oh, do this. And I'm like, ah, like already carving fucking wood out, and like, I'm gonna make this, because I was insane about it. that would influence other students to do the same. It's still the same in adults. I mean, it's the same thing when you go to cons. I mean, I went to Heroes Con when I was in the Heroes Con, and I saw the artwork. It was such good artwork there, and such amazing artists there. I fucking came back going like, I need to work on my shit.
Dude, MegaCon this year was like that. Like, MegaCon when I was in Artist Alley with Kenny Calderon from McCall, these are the people. Yeah. Like, Jeff DeCall was sitting next to me, mm-hmm. and we were just shooting the shit for a while, and then I got her up, looked around, I was like, holy shit. Yeah. Like, that's... Wow.
And hopefully, I mean, I think next year, if we do the changes that we want to change and the remodeling of the fucking shop, hopefully if all that goes through, you know, we're going to have more of that here.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll be able to have tables and have drawing nights and do crazy shit. I was even thinking about it because, you know, if we get it done in time for Free Comic Book Day, like, it has to come to mind because I have to order comics now for Free Comic Book Day.
Well, you're in the middle of that now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have to order. Like, I just ordered t-shirts. So I got a t-shirt for you and us. And
oh, cool, cool.
So we have Free Comic Book t-shirts.
All right.
So we walk around like assholes. Anyway, so when we do all that and we set up for it, you know, we could have, like, if we had the walls down and everything, we could have tables here and we could have artists presenting their shit to people while they come in, you know?
Agreed.
And, you know, more merchandise on the wall, more everything, so.
And then I'm currently trying to work on a couple of tattoos. As everybody knows at this point, we are kind of like a pop culture shop.
Yeah.
Like, we do a lot of pop culture shit. We do a lot of neo-traditional. I do painterly style portraits. I don't do, like, really hyper-realistic shit. Although I can. I like painterly.
Yeah.
We're trying to, like, fill the shop with more tattoo artists that are differently equipped for different things. Like, Nelson's now going to take over almost all the traditional work. Mm-hmm. And I'll stick to my painterly, neo-traditional pop culture stuff. And he does pop culture stuff, too. And then we'll have... if I can get a tattoo artist that I want, which I'm in the talks with right now, to be here, mm-hmm. that's going to be fucking
insane. In other words, the pop culture is more the preferred subject matter.
Yeah, but we do everything.
But do as far as how it's done,
yeah.
there's a lot of...
We do pretty much everything. It's just, like I said, people know us more for the pop culture stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this just came to mind, but what if you had a sleeve... That was just logos.
That already happened. It's a leg sleeve. There's an image floating around out there.
Of a leg sleeve is just like Amazing Spider-Man.
Logos, yep.
Because you could just... The logos are something you could just fucking do all day. Like, for me, it's like something that...
I mean, remember, we have the flash pages, too, that have logos, have, like, little stuff in the front. We also have a lot of, like, new sales coming up for the tattoos. As in, like, you know...
Traditional Tuesdays?
Traditional Tuesdays. That's one of our things now. Which is, we'll pop out a nice, cool, traditional piece, and we'll just concentrate on that for that day.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get more into, like, different things, you know what I mean? Yeah. As well, like, I might not be here for a lot of the time, so I have to have a good team of tattoo artists here to hold the mantle down. If not, there's also other good shops around here now, like, a few good shops opened up around here, too. Like, we're all part of this whole now plethora of cool fucking shit that's going around in the neighborhood. Tattoo Theory just opened up down the street from us.
Mm-hmm.
Junkyard Studios, like, we're friends with, like, really good friends with. And there's us. And we're constantly, between Junk and I right now, we're constantly just throwing people back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're booked. You can check out this shop. We really recommend them. All right, cool. Oh, we're booked.
And for styles, too.
Yeah, and styles, like,
some
too.
Stuff, too.
But, that, you know what, and that's the way it should work out between shops.
Mm-hmm.
The more and more the industry grows and the more and more we evolve as tattoo artists or something out here, like, and shop owners as well, like, you start realizing, hey, you kind of, like, want your competition to be your friend as well, because at the end of the day, we're all well-versed, and there's enough for all of us to eat, you know? So... But yeah,
I think it would be interesting if somebody surprisingly said one day, you know, West Hialeah Gardens, that's the best place to go get a tattoo because you can get fucking covered there, and what you want, somebody can do.
Yeah,
and I think if that's the idea and that neighborhood gets known for that, I think it's a lot cooler than everybody at each other's throat. But it's funny because in every industry, you know, I was telling, you know, a friend of mine, his wife does pole dancing classes. In a city up north.
Yeah, we had.
And they had, you know, and she's like, yeah, I have this other pole dancing studio talking shit about me. And I'm like, why? You know, like, that's like, what the fuck for when you're both full, you know? It's just ridiculousness upon ridiculousness. So I think if you can get away from that, I think it'll be way better for you. So what else? What else? We already talked about our favorite comics. One thing we haven't talked about.
The movies.
Nah.
Are we in sync right now? Yeah, the movies.
Yeah,
man.
I guess, you know. Can we talk about The Force Awakens?
Yeah, dude. At the same time, I'm kind of hesitant.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. This is a disclaimer right off rip. Just letting you know. And it's going to be quick because I know we're running on our hour mock right now. But look, The Force Awakens was the shit for me.
Yeah.
For you, you said it was a pretty good movie as well.
I go again. I enjoyed the fuck out of it, and I liked it. Now, as far as a critical, I have some consternations about it. I have some problems with it.
Me too.
But it wasn't. It's not enough to fucking say fuck this movie.
No.
It's more like, it's not like, oh, this was bad, and now this you should do it good. No, this was all right. This is good, but there was a chance to do something great.
I agree.
And that's what my biggest problems were.
As a Star Wars fan, I felt satisfied.
Yeah.
I felt very
satisfied. I think that's overall the cue of it. Like, that's everybody.
But that's also coming off of the prequel trilogy as well.
I can ignore it. I do all the time.
I know, but put in perspective.
And which weren't total shit.
They weren't total shit.
You said it perfectly. Phantom Menace was poo-poo, but whatever.
You said it perfectly, which was, the vision was great. The execution was horrible.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Yeah.
Force Awakens, I think it's up there. It's like one of my top five this year. Mm. I've seen a lot of movies. One of my top five. Mm. More closer to like the number one spot. But then again, I'm gonna get hate like I always did. I loved Age of Ultron as well. Mm. I thought it was a great film. Ant-Man was like.
But this is the thing I always say to people all the time. If you're a fan of it, it's hard. And when I say fan is that you're not willing to be as critical either.
Yeah, I'm being biased.
You like it. You're biased. I'm biased. You're not willing to be as critical. I'm not willing to be as critical of Avengers. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a fan, so I'm willing to go along. Look at it this way. I'm not a fan of Star Trek in the sense of like I'm a big fan. I've watched every episode. No, not necessarily. I've watched them plenty.
Yeah.
But I tend to be more critical about it because I hate when, you know, don't get your Star Trek in my Star Wars and I won't get my Star Wars in my Star Trek. And I think the part of Star Trek with what they're doing is like, you're getting your chocolate in my peanut butter, bitch. Like, don't.
Yeah, I didn't like the trailer for the new
one. No. And then that second movie was horrible. So that's where you can kind of flim-flam.
See, I actually wasn't completely opposed to the second movie.
I fucking hate it. I didn't hate it, but there was like.
I thought it was better than the
first. I had it kind of ruined for me because I had somebody.
Tell you how
bad it was, so I kind of went in there with a negative thing. But when you go in there and you say, look, I'm going to try to find the bright side of this the whole fucking time, blah, 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 well, and I couldn't.
Look, yesterday there was a customer here. He's one that frequents all the time. He's here. And he was like, I haven't seen The Force Awakens yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, well, you should go watch it. Nah, I kind of had it ruined. Are you a Star Wars fan? Yeah, but nah, I kind of had it ruined. Like, somebody told me the whole thing. I'm like, yeah, you're seeing it from somebody else's perspective. You need to go see it yourself.
Yeah.
Take that shit out of your brain, if you can. Mm-hmm. And watch it with open
mind. That reminds me, I got to go bother my brother about it, because I think he went to see it recently.
Oh.
I want to see what he wanted to do.
But yeah, no, I think Star Wars was fantastic. I liked it a lot. Yes, there are a few things that should have been done differently.
Yeah.
The Leia thing.
Well, yeah, that was my big thing.
That was the biggest thing.
Like, General Leia was, you know, everybody's grandmother in that fucking movie.
Yeah.
She was feistier in the original trilogy. You know what I'm saying?
She was hella feisty in the fucking EU, the extended universe.
Yeah, so it's like, all of a sudden you had her there like, okay, great, you brought me the Death Star plans. Okay, thank you, dear. You know, like, what is that?
What was your thought on R2-D2, like, after Luke went missing?
Oh, well, no, that was John. And John wrote, because John was the one who said she should have been General Leia.
Yeah.
Been a 30-year hardened veteran of a fucking, you know, rebellion. Should have been the fucking, you know... I mean, he wanted to take it to a cheesy place with an eye patch and a cigar and shit. And I'm like, that's Nick Fury, nigga.
That's
like,
Nick
don't,
Fury.
Don't do Nick Fury. Yeah, it's like, come on. But it would have been to see her really hardcore and say, oh, R2 was the last one who knows where Luke is. And have, like, fucking R2 taken apart in pieces on a wall or something.
That
and trying to analyze. And see her, like, she was willing to sacrifice the droid for it. And would have been... And then maybe BB-8... would have rebuilt R2, and then that would have been like a cute way of like a passing of the torch, you know?
Yeah.
And then maybe I even said.
But realistically speaking, they're not passing the torch. Like in the next three movies, the next two movies, they're gonna be part of it too.
Yeah, of course.
So it's just like we have a new droid. Mm. It's called BB-8.
Yeah, no, and the concept and the way it looked and everything is cool as shit. So I mean, so that was my take on it. My other thing was just like overall, just certain parts. Captain Phasma did nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Well, no. She gave up. That's what
sort of Finn running around with a lightsaber was just a big, you know, red herring the whole time, you know.
The guy with the fucking lightsaber.
The baton fucking nightstick thing. Always say the same thing. He's like, you guys are laughing at me now, but I've been carrying this around. He's like, dude, leave it in your locker, bro. It weighs a lot. Watch, one day you're gonna need it. Who are we gonna use it against?
Ben shows up with a lightsaber. And
like, kind of traitor. Like, oh, Glenn finally got it. It's Glenn's day today. No, stay off, guys. I could have shot him already. No. Let him have it. He's been waiting for this day.
Yeah. His exact words were, "I got this." What the fuck? Yeah. Like, you've been planning this, dude. Yeah. Like, this is what you wanted. Like,
oh, I have the fucking nightstick.
And he was a pretty epic fight. That was a pretty good one too.
Poe Dameron's a little OP,
but I'm okay with that.
If he's that much of a badass, yeah.
And, you know, I think there's something there. I think that maybe, just maybe, he might have a little bit of force detection, or he might be a force sensitive.
Well, they always alluded to everybody had something. Most pilots are force sensitive in some way, because to be a pilot, and because they're talking about
a
pod race.
Yeah, to be a pilot and to be Poe are two different
things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because
Poe was just fucking popping motherfuckers off like crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn, Solo. I don't want to touch base on that.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I feel
all I know is Father's Day is going to be pretty lonely around Luke Skywalker.
House.
Yeah.
The Skywalker solo house.
Yeah, it's like
happy.
Oh. Just everybody's quiet.
That was a really good one. Oh, yeah. Like if he's falling off of a bridge. Oh.
So if you haven't seen it yet, you suck.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already New Year's for fuck's sake. If you haven't seen it.
Yeah, dude, it's been out for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Go make a trip.
Yeah. It was funny, though, because you know what I caught the other day with the videos of people's reactions to the Force Awakens trailer, the first one? And I'm like, I'm glad that happened. Like, you had that build-up and come up to it. It's sad to see that go. It's always great to see that little build-up and see people react.
Dude, we cried.
Yeah, we cried.
We cried like little punks. Like,
yeah. So, now we got, again, you know, hopefully with Rogue Squadron, which I hate prequels, dude. I just hate fucking prequels with a passion.
I'll see it.
It'll probably be badass. No, let's not act like assholes.
It'll be pretty cool.
We're probably going to love it. It's probably going to be cool as shit. You know. But it's kind of like, eh.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to Star Wars Episode 8.
Yeah.
That shit looks like it's going to be insane. Yeah. And they have a pretty good director behind it.
Yeah, and we get away from Abrams for now.
Yeah. Which I wasn't... He didn't turn into Jar Jar Abrams.
Yeah. He saved himself from that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Abrams needs new tools in his toolbox. I think he needs to get away from always
denying what is actually it.
Yeah, and it's like, if you don't want people to guess it, don't give them so many clues.
Yeah,
you know? I think either doubts the fans' intelligence or thinks he's really smart. And
one's bad.
Yeah, either one's super bad. Because then
the
one
thing I will say that he did excellent was he kept Kylo Ren's identity and who he's linked to a secret till the very end.
Yeah, but everybody was already fathoming different shit. I mean, if you blast off enough stupid theories,
But not what it came out to be.
I mean, at least we didn't know about, you know, Han Solo digesting a lightsaber.
Notice how he said disclaimer, spoiler alert, like, don't listen to Star Wars stuff after we start talking about it. Look, we got fucking spoiled the day we went. It was horrible. Like,
I went to check my fucking phone, and I was like checking an email, and the fucking image came and comes up.
Yeah, and on Facebook, some fuckbag, which thank God got a bunch of death threats and fucking and got hit up by Disney.
You know what I gotta look at is that video of the guy who got jumped.
Dude, the video's out.
There was a guy. There's a video.
I hope. Oh,
and we were saying he got fucking stopped.
Hey,
he was
listen,
in critical
if
condition.
If it was you, they got put in critical intensive care. Know this. You deserve to be there.
Yeah.
Like, you're a fucking scumbag.
You're lucky a nurse didn't come in and put an air bubble in your fucking...
Oh. Yeah, she should. Anyway.
No, but you know, going back to the J.J. Abrams, I mean, we were talking about Tarantino before with Omar, one of our customers.
Dude.
And we were talking about The Hateful Eight, and we got to go to watch the fucking 70mm cut with the intermission and everything. We got to go see that, because that, to me, is going to be the shit. Because then, if you want to look at the other side of the coin of a masterful filmmaker like Tarantino, you know, J.J., I think J.J. Abrams is really good for TV, and he's catching his legs now on being a filmmaker.
Yeah.
Because film-wise, come on, what movie can we really point at?
Otherwise, other than the Star Trek movies?
Yeah. Cloverfield?
I thoroughly enjoyed Cloverfield.
I got fucking motion sickness at Cloverfield. All that shaky camera shit, I was like, oh, God, fuck. I had to close my eyes halfway through it.
Really?
Yeah, it was fucking bad.
Oh, man. Yeah, Cloverfield was
good. And I'm, like, thinking other movie-wise, and, you know, Star Wars might be his first movie that he was like, wow, okay, hit it out of the park.
Yeah, he hit it out of the park. Damn, you're right.
So that's the thing. So I think he's grabbing his... He's just getting his, like, fucking, you know...
Well, talk about movies.
Directing though. Legs.
Let's get away from Star Wars for a second, because I don't want to go ahead and ruin anything else or any of that. Kylo Ren was a sniveling
but
he's supposed to be a sniveling shit.
He's the King Joffrey of the fucking series.
And this Snoke character, I think he's
Plagueis. I'm thoroughly not impressed with that character.
But I think he's Plagueis. I'm not going
to
go into it.
Because even the Emperor had something to him. You know, the Emperor...
It's a fucking hologram. Like, what did you guys want?
No, but even the Emperor as a hologram was something in the fucking series. Yeah. You know, in the first, you know... In episodes 4-7, it was something, you know, like...
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's like something sucks.
Yeah.
You know, he had that voice, you know,
Stormtrooper. But no, getting away from Star Wars. Trailers of the shit that's coming out.
Stormtrooper!
The fuck?
Stormtrooper.
Fucking... Let's start with the good. Uh-huh. The good fucking Deadpool looks awesome.
Deadpool looks good.
Deadpool looks awesome.
It's going to be fun. Because I feel like if whatever jokes you hear at the Deadpool movie are going to haunt your fucking dreams for the next year.
And they're going to be dated.
Every asshole.
In like 5 or 6 years, they're going
to
be dated.
Yeah, and every... But because, you know, look, if you go to a con and you see a group of Deadpools together, it's got a bunch of assholes acting like tards. Because they got a license to act like tards because that's part of, like, the character.
Tell me how you really feel, Juan.
You know? Well, no, I mean, it's funny. I'm the first one to say, don't stop them. That's part of the fun.
Right.
Let them have their fun. Don't be a fucking
dick.
In
New York, that conga line of Deadpool was insane.
Yeah. But so. By the other side of it, too, it's like, dude, like, hey, respect that some people don't want to be part of your reindeer games.
Yeah.
Like, don't come up to me and say chimichanga, because I could give a flying fuck. All right? I'm going to walk around you and ignore you.
This is coming from a Mexican, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Like, a lot of times I just, again, seeing all this other stuff, I'm just kind of dreading that side of it. Then again, as a store, I'm like, bro, I got to get some Deadpool merchandise.
But it hasn't done good. Like, the Deadpool books, whatever. Cable Deadpool was amazing.
Motherfuckers don't want to read it.
Yeah.
They'll watch it, but they won't read it.
Cable Deadpool, the new one, Deadpool Cable, is awesome. It's going back into...
That's that original team that sends. I mean, it's just like if you look at Deadpool 3.1, it's Posehn and Duggan again, the writers.
Yeah.
So that's like that original team from 2 years ago.
Was that a Spanish copy we have in the front?
No, it just says número 3.1.
Holy shit. Like,
they're being facetious.
Oh, okay.
So that was that. And then you have the regular season, which is Duggan and a new team. Doing the Deadpool. So, I mean, if you're a Deadpool fan right now, yay!
Yeah.
You know? But I think it's a lot too much shit. You know?
Stay in the X-Verse. X-Men Apocalypse. Looks... Mm-hmm. I'm against the fence on this one. I think it's going to be...
I think it's going to be a good movie. Because I think everybody...
wanting to watch
the same feeling I had about Days of Future Past.
Is what you're feeling now.
And First Class. I had. So now I'm like, all right. Like, I'm not too worried.
I was worried when the pictures came out at first. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah, but they already, I knew they were going to change that. They're like, oh, that was pre-CGI. That's why it looks like that, you know. Yeah. So that was the one thing. But if that's the worst thing, then overall it's not a bad situation. Because Archangel looks awesome.
Yeah.
Psylocke looks awesome.
Storm looks crazy.
Storm looks fucking great. You know, everybody looks really fucking good. The only thing is, my thing with the trailer was, why the big reveal is this guy being...
Don't talk about big reveals, though, because fucking Superman v. Batman, or whatever the fuck it's called now. I'm a huge Batman-Superman fan. I'm not a fan of Superman. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah.
But, fuck, man. Like, really? Doomsday? In the trailer?
Oh, that was a whole other fucking bat. But I told you. I told you. You guys don't listen to me. You guys are like lemmings ready to fucking jump off the cliff. That movie's gonna suck. And I'm telling you right now, it better be careful, because if it sucks enough, it can knock the fucking oxygen out of the room, and all of a sudden superhero films. You just need one fucking really, really horrible one. Fantastic Four, nobody gave a shit.
Thank God.
From the fucking get-go, everybody was like, meh. Big bag of meh. Yeah. And it was a mojong en medio, bro. That was a fucking...
You can still see the fucking the green screen in the background in certain scenes.
Difference
between, that's horrible.
The difference between that movie and a bucket of shit is the bucket.
That's horrible.
You know, that's how bad it was. We had a fucking line of people here telling us how bad it was.
It wasn't even like 24 hours late. Like, it premiered on a Thursday.
Friday afternoon.
And Thursday night, we already got people talking shit. And Friday was just all day. Saturday was all day. Sunday was all... It was bad.
It's so bad that after all, I'm like, I gotta go see this shit. This is like
did a turkey.
No, I never ended up seeing it.
Yeah.
And then it's like one of those things that you don't want to even bootleg. Somebody comes up and gives you a DVD of it. You're like, ah.
It's cool, man.
It's
cool.
No, it's funny, too, because it was like, I was watching something at my brother-in-law's house. And, you know, you see the classic Marvel icon logo when it starts. And it's like, you know, the flipping of the comics. You're like, oh, shit, what's this? And I was like, oh, shit. And it was a fucking commercial for the Fantastic Four on Blu-ray. And I was like, what? Oh, fuck. And I was like, wow, that sucks. So if you have, you know, I guess Marvel worked out in a way it's one bad movie and it can walk away from it going, not us.
Yeah. I mean, the worst
movie. DC can't do that.
Yeah.
And DC is going to have to eat whatever shit comes its way. And I'm telling you, that Lex Luthor, fucking bullshit.
Dude, I like Jesse Eisenberg as an actor. I can't see him as Lex Luthor. I can't. Mm-hmm. That whole, like, oh, you have a strong handshake. Do not mess with this man. It's like, fuck you, dude. Like, you're horrible.
Yeah.
And you have hair. Where the fuck? Like, seriously? Yeah,
no, it's just overall, it's just bad. And then you got a Spider-Man 3 situation.
Dude, the guy that played Lex Luthor in Smallville is a better Lex Luthor than Jesse Eisenberg in that commercial, that trailer.
If you have a... you know, if you even look at just anything, you just look over that movie overall, and it just has so many notes to it that are just bad. Just bad. It has that Spider-Man 3 feel.
Oh,
let's put Venom and Sandman and the Green Goblin all in the same movie because that means more money. And it does it. What happens every time you add a shit ton of villains on there? It's like it's all over the place. No one gives a shit. And that was one of the things that if it hadn't killed the franchise, that Sam Raimi even apologized about. You know?
Dude, he did a Schumacher. Like, fucking Schumacher.
And then,
Schumacher intentionally made it cheesy. And shitty.
No, that's the thing. If you went to Schumacher, he wouldn't apologize for shit.
But he did.
And it made its money.
He did, but he said, I still made the movie I want to make. Sam Raimi goes, I was fucking rushed through the entire thing. Wait, side note, Sam Raimi came back and did fucking Ash vs. the Evil Dead, and he's producing the entire thing, the Raimi Brothers art. Mm-hmm. Fucking amazing. I fucking love it. Back to movie shit. Alright, yeah.
Now, if you take Batman vs. Superman and the feeling you get there where you're going, and go to Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
There's a fucking huge 180 degree difference. Come on. Like, are you Captain America Civil War, you watch it, you're like, you want to know more. You want to know what happens. They're really good at that. Batman vs. Superman has this inevitability to it that, come on, look, alright, truth be of the truth. Think Superman's going to kill Batman?
No.
You think Batman's going to kill Superman?
No.
No. We already know that Doomsday's going to shoot his eye ray, and supposedly Wonder Woman's the one who's going to deflect it, and in the end, all three of them fight him together. So you just fucking gave up the movie.
Yep.
Is Lex Luthor evil? He's explaining his plan to Lois Lane. And she's saying, you're psychotic. So you just gave away the movie.
Yeah.
These fuckers give away the movie. And then what? You're just going to pay to watch this shit you already know?
Jesus Christ.
You know what I'm saying? So now, instead, and what does Civil War do? Blip, blap, there's this little bit of this, little bit of that. Oh, you saw Black Panther?
You saw Black Panther run really quick?
Here's this.
Hey,
here's
that. Why is Steve Rogers holding onto a fucking helicopter
nah.
and a roof and putting it together? What? Nah. What's going on, dude? Yeah, it was awesome. I think Civil War is
going
to be the shit.
Yeah. So what happens to you the whole time? You're going, what happens next? What's going on? What in it? Oh, do you want to watch it?
Yeah.
That's the difference that I have. That's the difference between the DC movies and the Marvel movies.
And there's a possibility that we might get a fucking Doctor Strange trailer for Civil War.
Yeah.
And
so, well, another Suicide Squad trailer is going to come out in January.
I could give a fuck less.
Well, hey, I'm just telling you because it's a chance for it to redeem itself.
Really?
You know?
I don't know.
Joker. I don't want it to. I could give a flying hot shit myself, but it's one of those things that I don't want a bad fucking superhero movie.
Me neither.
I don't want one.
I hope it's
bad for our industry. It's bad for the shop. It's bad for anything. And if people get a bad flavor in their fucking mouth, they're not going to want to fucking deal with it anymore. And you don't want to end people's fandom by a bad movie. Then again, that's some weak fucking fandom on their part. Because yeah. I'm the first one, although, you know.
That's bandwagoning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
you
what
know, I watched Masters of the Universe the other night. You know, why? Because I was like, I should watch this because I love He-Man and I want to see the whole fucking film for once from when to end. And yeah. I came away with a different opinion of it. It wasn't a bad movie. It was just
Phantom in general, The Departed mm-hmm. from Martin Scorsese. It wasn't your usual Scorsese film.
Yeah.
It had a lot of the elements, but it wasn't your usual Scorsese film. But it was one of the fucking, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. Quentin Tarantino.
Well, that's the thing with fandom and talking about having, you know, you're a fan of something, will you not approach it with a critical eye? But it depends on what it is. You know, it's just like we were talking about, like, you're going to have that snappy dialogue, and you're going to have it in Inglourious Basterds, because it's a World War II film, so it makes it different, and you go do-do-do-do-do. You know what I'm saying? That one flavor plays off the other flavor, salty versus sweet and what have you.
Yeah, of course.
Bitter versus sour. You know, you work one thing off the other. And the same token in fandom, if you're a true fan of something, you can look at it, and like, I can look at, you know, again, Age of Ultron, and yeah, we can nitpick the fuck out of that.
Yeah.
If we wanted to.
But you know
but
what?
But I enjoyed it, so I don't fucking care.
On screen for the first time, I was like, fuck it, everything is
and
good.
And not only that, it does play into, because they would say, well, it's like the comics. Which ones are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Are you talking about the fucking 60s, or are you talking about the 80s? Because the 80s ones were talkative. Are you talking about the newest ones now, from the 90s up, since the Ultimate Universe? Which had some of the most interesting character development.
Yeah.
You want to have that? And also, or do you want to talk about something that prolongs it and goes and for and goes past the comics and tells a real human story?
Yeah.
Are you going to tell me that Captain America and fucking... Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor are walking down there and they don't talk at all like fucking human beings?
Well, that's why I like...
Isn't that more little, interesting...
That little snippet where they're like, oh, so if you put the hammer...
On an elevator.
Is the elevator worthy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, oh, that was fucking worthy? Really... That was brilliant.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
So that's the fucking thing that you have to talk about. Those are the things you have to introduce. And you don't introduce a for sure answer. You just have a bunch of questions, and now you have fun with it.
Yeah.
And now you can fathom it, and... You know, the filmmakers are sitting there going, you know what's awesome? People are going to walk out of this, and when you're having a pizza afterwards after a fucking gym, they're still asking questions. They're still talking about it. And do you want to be talking about the film and questions about it, or do you want to be talking about how the film didn't work and it's a piece of shit?
Yeah.
That conversation
is
another
talking
thing.
About it.
Yeah. You know?
Unlike Fantastic Four, which is just like, it's bad.
It's bad. It's not bad. Even like fathom this. And it's always the same thing. And they don't, like I said, you know, again, going back to my original fucking... plan for Fantastic Four would be do the 60s Fantastic Four.
The Mad Men
Fantastic Four idea, and do all that stuff. So you have clobbering time, you have all this shit, let them fight Victor Von Doom.
Hey, Marvel, if you're listening.
You know, do that, and I think people will really get into it.
And Fox.
Yeah.
Mostly Fox. Fox, you're fucking shit up.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of, and no, then the fact that they don't go, they're not smart enough to cross over these things. They have the Baxter Building and the X-Men. You know, have the thing drinking a beer with Wolverine.
Yeah.
Come on, how great would that be?
I mean, we're starting to see that now, thank God, like for fucking Deadpool, like Colossus.
Yeah.
And I forgot the name of
it. Oh, she's post-nuclear something, something, something.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's
pretty cool. That's pretty brilliant. Like, hey, well, I don't have time for
I just found out
bullshit.
That they replaced that Colossus actor like 2 days before or something like that.
That was fucked up.
Yeah.
I like the original Colossus actor. I think he's an awesome fucking...
No, they replaced him again.
Again?
Before that last trailer that came out. The voice, it's a whole other actor.
Why?
The voice. Don't know.
That character is cursed, bro.
I don't know. Like, who will play Colossus? The whole thing with that... But they were talking about that on another podcast I was listening to. Like, people have been on sets and they've been rehearsing all week and they're doing this shit, and then like the morning that they start filming, they look over and it's a whole new guy. And they'll be like, what the fuck happened? Like, why isn't that guy? That guy was great. Oh no. Producers wanted to go another direction. Didn't like that guy.
Wow, dude.
So that shit happens a lot.
Hollywood
so
jibba jabba bullshit.
Yeah. Hollywood talk, like Jude Million says.
That's Hollywood Jude Million talk. Says, yep. And no, and then really quick so we can finally like wrap this up. The new shows that are coming out, fucking then the other half of fucking Walking Dead.
Yeah.
They finally introduced Negan.
Mm-hmm. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Remember this, folks. When you're watching that and you hear that, you're going to shit your pants.
Something bad is going to happen right after.
Yeah. If it's you haven't really read Walking Dead bad. Yet, read these books and you're going to be like, fuck.
Look, if you want to know what Negan is, like, read, what, I'd say 98, because that's really where they introduced the Saviors.
Is it?
Yeah, like 98.
In 96, they allude to it.
Yeah. Okay, 96... all the way to like issue 100 and
30 something.
Yeah, that's all Negan.
Yeah,
like all Negan.
That's like the Negan Wars.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's called Fear Itself.
Yeah,
and dude,
yeah, because it caps at 100.
Yeah, and let me tell you, Negan. There's a reason why in a lot of polls he is the worst, or rather, the most hated villain in modern comics, because he's a fucking bastard. Yeah.
Thanos
dude.
Don't got dick on this guy. Yeah, like this guy is just.
Oh man,
that's why I'm telling you, when you hear eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you're gonna fucking shit your pants. Yeah, that's gonna be exciting. I'm telling you, it might make me watch the series.
Outcast is another one that's coming out for Cinemax.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch that.
I want to see that too. Mind you, they're both Robert Kirkman.
Yeah.
What is it? Which I saw in New York Comic Con. You slap, like, you shut up. And I was like, no! I had a fanboy moment, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're walking there, we're all cool, and you're like, Robert Kirkman!
Yeah?
Yeah.
Eastman? Really?
Oh, I got choked up at Kevin Eastman, and I said hello to him, and we were in line, and I was talking to him. Hey, that's different.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
But,
Then going, Ben Kevin! Dang! That's a little different.
And then, what is it? Preacher's coming out on AMC. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I can't fucking wait for that.
I like the choice of some of the actors they had, because they did choose, what's his face? He was from The Misfits. I don't know if you ever saw that TV show. But the kids who got superpowers?
Yeah, yeah.
On Hulu? The guy that was the joking... I forget the actor's name. He was like the joking fucking asshole guy who could never die. That was his power. He is the guy who's going to be playing the vampire. What's his face? So I think that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good one.
I don't know about Tony Stark's dad being fucking... Jesse?
Jesse,
I don't see it as far as looks. Yeah, maybe he can bring it as an actor.
I'm okay with it. Yeah. Like, he's a good actor. Yeah. He's a believable actor. Dude, fucking...
Agent Carter's coming out.
Agent Carter's okay. Yeah. I'm not a fan.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's good. It's cool. Fun. I like it.
I'll watch it in passing.
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which has been really good, and I wonder, because they always ramp up to the next Marvel movie.
Yeah.
So I feel like, how is it going to ramp up the Civil War?
Oh,
so
dude, Daredevil Season 2.
Oh, yeah. With the Punisher. They already had a picture of Daredevil and Punisher in the same scene.
I
feel
he's a dog whistle. I swear to God, I think
he's going
to
do the dog whistle scene?
It happened. It has happened.
I know. And somebody was saying that there was Jessica Jones might show up, but not, like, directly. Like, there was just going to be something.
She'll be in the background or something.
Yeah.
Jessica Jones was awesome.
Like, it's going to relate to the Jessica Jones series, because she's going to be walking at a certain time in her series and what's happening with Daredevil at a certain time. So, like, you know the storylines are happening at the same time. Because the nurse chick that comes on Jessica Jones.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's going to be just coming back from something.
Which will probably be from season one. Yeah.
No, that's exciting.
Exciting, yeah.
I just started playing Daredevil again on the front series, and I think maybe that week that Daredevil comes out, I'll probably do a sale or something, because a couple of Daredevil books and people can get on it. But I was just I was watching it again, and they really did the fucking book, the series well.
Yeah.
Like, when you see the opening again, like, wow, they really introduced it right, they really brought everything together right. You know, even the choice of, like, oh, he doesn't get the costume till the end of the season, that was really well done.
Yeah.
Like, it best.
So to this day, though, my favorite thing in that show was, or my favorite fight scene in that show was when he goes and he saves the little boy and the Russians.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that fight scene was old boy.
He did a whole old boy, one camera shot, one long take, goes down the hall, goes up the hall. People are just going into rooms, beating the fuck. And it just shows, because you kind of get exhausted with him. Like, you're in the excitement, but you're getting exhausted with him. It's that one long
and
shot.
And you're the one that said it. Like, you read an interview or something that in the new Daredevil series, season two, rather, the action's going to be ramped up more than the first one. Like, the fight scenes are going to be crazier. Yeah. Everything's going to be crazier. And you have the Punisher. Like, that motherfucker is crazy.
Yeah.
Frank Castle is, like... just nuts.
But I just wonder what, because just like we talk about Batman, and there's like the detective version of him, and then there's the ninja version or the superhero version and all the other ones, which to me, I always go back to the detective. To me, Batman, the world's greatest detective, that to me is his fucking power. He's the smartest guy in the fucking room at any time. Alright, going to Daredevil or going to Punisher, really, what kind of Punisher are we getting? Are we gonna get the
I think we're gonna get the
bullet
the
fucking
journal.
Driven
the Ellis War Journal.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Because the Ellis one was about a very tactical, very, like, I'm going to take these fuckers on. And then also, like, flagrant, violent fucking tactics. You know, like,
yeah,
hey, these guys are going to kill me and have guns. I'm going to punch a polar bear in the face, have him chase me, and have him eat them.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of shit. You know?
I have a feeling that's where they're going to go.
Yeah, that brutality.
And Elektra's going to be introduced in this season, too.
Yes.
Like, nobody fucking realized that. Everybody's, like, so caught
but
up.
But to what degree that's going to be the thing?
Well, one of the promos was the fucking Psy pinning down the Punisher. I mean, the Daredevil mask. That was one of the original promos.
Yeah.
So let's see if they're going to go that direction still.
Yeah. But, because you know why? The first season was a nice year one.
Yeah.
That was an awesome year one version of Daredevil. Now we're year two. Now the more crazies come out of the fucking woodwork.
Yeah.
So you have Punisher and Elektra. Remember, in their early relationship, they just got along. He didn't know Elektra Nat Geo's full abilities
and
what they were.
And they're introducing Bullseye too. So I mean, it's a lot of things this season.
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. I don't mind it because Punisher could be two episodes, really.
Yeah.
Punisher could be two episodes. It doesn't have to be all the fucking season where they intersect. You know, which is fine too because if
and
you
then
go
now
on
Marvel just announced a new show which they haven't really or. Three new shows slated for Netflix, and they haven't released who they are.
Theory, Iron Fist.
Theory. Well, no, Iron Fist was already part of the original. Theories. Moon Knight. They just got the rights back to Ghost Rider. So Ghost Rider and Punisher.
Okay. The only problem with that, I see Punisher for sure.
For sure.
For sure. That's it. Especially depending on how popular it gets and how many people talk about it with Daredevil, I think they'll definitely go for it. My reservations are this: Ghost Rider. Affects Nightmare, especially for a TV show.
Yeah, I agree.
Not many people can really handle Ghost Rider as an effect. So I don't know how they would do it. And with Moon Knight, and also Ghost Rider has its certain limits. They've never done it perfect. I've gone back and tried to watch those Ghost Rider films. You could tell they really tried.
Yeah,
but
Nick
it
Cage.
Just didn't happen. And for Moon Knight, I want it, but I feel like it's a far off fucking stretch because it's such an unknown character. Remember, and Moon Knight was their like Marvel, even though some of the creators, there was their version of ripping off Batman.
Batman, yeah.
So if you're gonna be doing
but
that, it's
on
like,
that on that argument though, and we've had this argument before, and we've agreed that okay, yeah, it was their version of ripping off Batman, but at the end of the day, what the answer for each one was Moon Knight was, or rather, Azrael was Moon Knight. Azrael in the DC Universe.
Yeah.
The crazy fucking...
Yeah. French guy.
French guy.
Yeah.
Is Moon Knight.
Yeah. But the thing with Moon Knight, for this one, I mean, now, if you go into, like, the Clan Scalvi, Warren Ellis, and what they did on their runs, even Brian Wood did on their runs, because they did a Moon Knight series recently, and it got to, like, issue 21.
Was that the one you were telling me about? That
yeah.
He's running through
yeah,
a building,
yeah,
and
yeah.
He's just like, you're missing! Poof, you suck at this!
Yeah.
I need that. I need that
issue. You know, that if you're going to get to that, if you do that, and where he had very different weird shit. Like, he had the three personalities. He's crazy.
Yeah,
he's Bruce Wayne with a personality disorder, you know? So,
well, Bruce Wayne has a personality disorder.
So if you're going to go to that level with him, maybe. Then that could be something that will really shock people and really hit people up from broadside. Then they're going to be like, what the fuck is this? I got to find out more. I think there's also, I mean, alongside with the Luke Cage series and everything else, if they really want to build up that side being the Defenders and being like a Defenders movie, That'll be excellent. I hate that they announced that they weren't really working movie side with TV side wasn't working as much anymore, especially since the linchpin, which was this guy on top left. You know, there's a lot of shit to that. So it kind of sucks because it seems like there's some degradation there as far as what Disney and Marvel are doing and what they're ultimately kind of pumping up for. Now it seems like less than, you know? It'll
still be good. Although we all agree that it would be crazy and awesome to see the Infinity War Part 2. Because that'll be the final one, where you know Thanos is about to crush Thor with the Infinity Gauntlet, and you see Spider-Man just grab him,
pull that fucking web.
You see fucking Daredevil throw a baton and it hits Thanos in the face. Like that'd be fucking great.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're right. Like it does have that.
Well, I would live to see the Avengers team, you know, celebrating, you know, Luke Cage and Jessica Jones' marriage.
That'd be fucking awesome.
You know, and they go out to drink or something like that. Like the classic
series. That's a spoiler, by the way. Fuck it. Whatever.
You know, or Jessica Jones having, you know, being there, and there's Carol Danvers, you know.
Yeah.
There is Spider-Woman. There is all the female characters, which they really need to introduce because they're great characters.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see Spider-Woman on there. So I would fathom.
Well, everybody talked about Carol Danvers. Captain Marvel's happening.
Yeah.
So, oh man, I don't know. I'm excited to see what the future holds for these movies. I hope that nothing kills me before before all this comes to completion. But, and then, that pretty much wraps it all up.
Yeah, so that's it for at least this year. And then we'll talk back. I believe so, since it's fucking an hour and 40 minutes into it.
So next, just come by the new year, which means I'm going to be open January 1st. I have to tattoo a bunch of people.
I'll be here later.
Yeah, you'll be here later. January, and I'm booked out till the 15th. As of right now.
Mm-hmm.
God, that's going to be a whole lot. I booked out again. So I'm booked out a couple more days in advance. Yeah. But
I always call. They can always call.
Come in. Check us out. Let us know what you think.
What's the URL?
Say what?
What's the URL? The website?
Oh, the website? Oh, the URL, motherfucker.
URL, motherfucker!
Whatever. It's www.dapper13.com. Or www.thegoblinsheist.com, right? Mm-hmm. As well as both of our Facebooks are, which is Dapper13 Tattoos.
The Goblin's Heist.
My Instagram, which is XORART.
Yeah.
I'm the only one with that.
So XORART.
Yeah.
Horror art. Okay.
Zora art. Motherfuck you, bro. And,
Fwakata. Fwacata.
Yeah, and then if you want to check out Nelson, which is the newest addition to the team, it's Neltron Sosa. Let me double check that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
All I know is that motherfucker can make a mean burrito.
Yo, he makes some crazy shit, bro. Like, it's fucking... Yeah, it's Neltron Sosa.
Let's call him up right now. He needs to bring burritos.
Right? He's saying Mexican.
Yeah. You can make a burrito. A burrito's like a sandwich thing everywhere.
And then, you know, next year, like I said, hopefully the shop will be a lot more.
And hopefully we'll be doing these
more. Yeah, often. We'll be doing a lot more of these. And there probably might be a YouTube channel with this type of stuff, too.
That's what I gotta work out. It's just fucking time, folks. Time.
We're gonna do another tattoo time lapse and drawing time lapse and all this other stuff. There's gonna be a whole lot more of that.
We'll be releasing all that soon.
And yeah, we'll be releasing all that very soon. And yeah, there's a lot of shit going on, like, come in for your sketch covers, which is still popular. Like, they're really good, too. You can get a piece of artwork on your favorite comic.
Yeah.
So.
Perfect gift.
Yeah.
As we're coming up to Valentine's Day, get your loved one a piece of art.
Yeah. And big shout-outs to all our sponsors and friends and everything, like, PPF. Big shout-out to them.
Yeah, Past, Present, and Future.
Florida Supercon.
Yeah. Florida Supercon, who's helped us, like, rip big time. We'll be at Magic City.
All of Reedpop too? Yeah, Reedpop too.
Reedpop for
Geekster Inc. Legends and Ink Fusion, which are really cool people too. Eternal Ink, Kingpin Tattoo Supplies, Cheyenne Tattoo Equipment, all that stuff. Really fucking great stuff to use.
Yeah.
And you know, just let's ring in the new year, right? Yeah.
So Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, guys.